call all the people together to the worship service now. Appreciate each one of you coming out. Looks like our crowd is a little thin because I think some of the congregants have gone on to begin the two-week Do-Re-Mi school. So let's be in prayer for that. But we can kick off this service today spiritually and in much prayer and in hope that the Lord will bless here. So if you're a visitor, welcome. And if you're a member, why, you're welcome too. Let's have everybody grab the blue book, the Heavenly Highway Hymns, and let's start out with the good old number called 278 in the Sweet Forever. I need some good alto voices on this to really sing out. 278. Everybody sing. Good. Just stay right there in this place in the book, and let's go down to number 279, sing the first and last verse of Hallelujah, What a Savior. 279.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Sam. Appreciate you leading the singing this morning. Thank you for Sister Janice playing the piano. We are glad to see each and every one here this morning. We're glad that we're able to be in the house of the Lord today. A little fewer in number. This is the next two Sundays is, I guess you could say, Sundays in which this happens. We sponsor the Do-Re-Mi camp as it goes on its next 2 weeks, and the children will be learning how to sing. And that's where many of our people are at today, is setting up and getting ready for the kids to come in for the singing. So, but we miss them greatly. I miss every one of them greatly, and I just pray that they'll have a good time at the singing. It is also a good opportunity for when the kids really get into serving the Lord, and I've seen that happen there, that people get under conviction. I see some of them get under conviction. I get to talk to different ones from time to time that said, I got saved at Do-Re-Mi. And I'm thankful they do that. They have the opportunity to pray and seek God. If you get close to the Lord, and during that two-week period, the kids, they're singing about Jesus. They're talking about Jesus from time to time. I know kids are going to be talking about everything else, but they are singing about Jesus. They're hearing about Jesus. There's preaching. Every night. And so with everything like that going on, they have an opportunity to hear about Jesus, and it gets on their mind. Amen. How many of you have a hard time getting Jesus on your mind through the week? There's a reason for it, isn't it? Well, you're dealing with work. You're dealing with this thing and that thing. You're trying to keep the house straightened up, or you're mowing the yards, you're trying to keep everything in order. Where's Jesus in that? That's what we need to do, is get more Jesus in our lives. And that's what I want to encourage us to do here in the next few days, especially get Jesus in our lives, is what I want you to do. And just try to, if you don't sing a joyful song unto the Lord, listen to one. You might say, well, where would I listen to that? There's gospel stations around. They're hard to find here on the radio here, but there's websites that you hear. Listen to songs about Jesus is what you need to do. Listen to those songs, and if you'll listen to them enough, you know what you'll know? You'll get to thinking about Jesus. Next thing you know, when you're thinking about Jesus, you'll start thinking about scripture or sermons that you've heard. And then the next thing you know, you're thinking about him enough that it's just blessing you on the inside. That's why the Bible tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's a starting place. And that's what our singing did this morning. I'm going to hush and get on with our service. It's good to be with everybody today. I want to invite all the kids to come up for Children's Church. Brother Sam's leading singing today, so I'm going to try to do the Children's Church today. Come on, kids. Hadn't got a lot. I looked around to see, but I'll be glad to have everybody I can possibly have. We'll even invite the older ones up here, too. Not kids, people. Come on. Got a little better bunch than I thought we did. That's good. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all? Y'all had a good week? Y'all know I was on vacation? I didn't know. August, you did. I didn't figure you really cared. We went down to Florida this past week and spent some time on the beach and looked at different things that was there. And that's really not going to have much to do with Children's Church. I'm going to kind of go back to one of our laws. Who knows what the Ten Commandments are? You know? What are they? Don't have to name them all. I wouldn't. They're just laws that God gave us to live by. There's actually a lot of laws in there, but you did, I think, mention one of the laws that I wanted to talk about right quick. And that is one that we would generally say we already know we're not supposed to do that. You see, if I walk up to one of y'all and you had something in your hand and I just took it out of your hand and took it and kept it, what would that be? Huh?
Stealing,
right. Good job. You're not supposed to steal, are you? That's one of the laws that God gave us, that thou shalt not steal. Why do you think he gave him such a law as that? Bless y'all. The idea is, it's not right for me to take things from you that don't belong to me. See, that causes problems in families and in communities and such as that. If you go up to somebody at school and they have a bicycle there at school or in your neighborhood, you just walk up to it and take it and say, this is going to be my bicycle now. What's that person going to do? They're going to get mad at you, right? And they're going to hold that against you. They could call the police, yes. And you could be in big trouble, right? So it's important for us to remember the commandment, thou shalt not steal. Don't take even a pencil from somebody that's not yours. Don't even take something small. Because sometimes people will take those things that you've done and they'll hold it against you. Well, they took my pencil. I didn't know. That's nothing. That's a pencil. I just borrowed it for a little while. Always ask before you borrow something like that. Always just tell them, hey, I need to use this just for a minute. And always remember, give it back to them. Because they might hold it against you. They stole my pencil. Okay? Short lesson, but I'm going to let you go. Good job, girl. It's good to see them little ones coming up and taking part. Appreciate that. Good morning to everybody again. We're glad to have our visitors with us today. We're going to be going to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. I still see some people walking in, and that's good. Maybe we should have sung some more people in. We should have done. But the idea is we're glad to see each and every one here today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request on the heart before we go any further in the service? She called me the other day, and I put it on Facebook about her daughter-in-law. And if you haven't seen it, now you know about it, please pray. Pray for her. There's a lot going on there, and she needs your prayers. The whole family will need your prayers. So keep that in mind today. Oh, no. Remember Brother Lowell, too, in her prayers. She didn't know about that part. Let's do continue to remember that entire family, though, in our prayers. Somebody else have a prayer request? It's good to see each and every one here today. We've seen some faces we haven't seen in a long time. Appreciate y'all being here. And let's just be prayerful one for another today in this service, that we can be what we need to be today for the Lord's service. Ask the Lord to come in and help us in a great, great way. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Make sure you pray for me, is what I'll say also this morning. Brother Chad, would you start a prayer, please?
as we consider, if you give me just a little rope here, as we consider our life, it can be considered as a journey that starts in the cradle and it ends in the grave. In between, that journey is filled with a lot of valleys, Miss Barbara, a lot of mountains, a lot of high points. Moses was allowed to get on top of Mount Pisgah and look over into the promised land. That promised land is closer to me now than has been any point in my life. And when I look back on it, some of the most fun times that I had, the most joyful times, have been when I knew that the Lord was real close.
Amen.
That I knew it. So let's walk close to the Lord. And that's kind of been the theme of, I guess, of our little few songs we got picked out here. But 264, if you'll join me. And I feel like traveling on. 264. Wait, Miss Vince. Turn back a few pages to number 257. Each step I take, 257. Thank you. Turn back here. It's an old song that came to our thinking a while ago. 214. 214.
Sister Janice. Appreciate good singing this morning. I know we're not as many as usual due to Do-Re-Mi going on and starting. I guess it's a better way of putting it. But we are thankful to see each and every one of you here today. We've got visitors in our midst, and we thank you for coming to be with us today. We hope you have a blessed day today in this service. We're going to take a reading lesson today from Exodus 33. I'll let you get turned there. I ask you to pray for me. Let's do remember the prayer requests that have already been made here at the church earlier in Sunday school and also in the early part of our church service. Let's just pray that those things might be in God's will, that they might be answered. We need to be prayerful for that. Just remember the different ones that's been coming from time to time that are not saved. We have some with us today that we know are not saved, and we just want to see them saved. We want to know that they're safe in the arms of God, and that the Lord is walking right beside them, what we want to do. I appreciated the good songs this morning, and I pray that the Lord will bless us today as we try to stand. As I said earlier, we desire your prayers that we might be able to preach that the Lord would have us to preach today. As we said, we're taking a reading lesson from Exodus 33, 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus. We're going to start with verse 7. And it says, "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door." And that's reading verses 7 through 10 for our reading lesson. We're going to stay predominantly in this chapter today for this lesson. Most everybody, I think, knows what a tabernacle was. It was another name for a tent. I ain't going to ask for a show of hands. Probably several of you have taken a trip in which that you may have camped or stayed in a tent. A tent is not hardly like a house, is it? It's basically a covering that is supported by poles, and it just it makes a place where that you can, we'll just say, basically keep you out of the weather. My brother and my cousin went camping one night, and they had fixed them up a tent on a hillside. And the tent that they used was basically a makeshift tent. So when a big thunderstorm came up and it rained really hard, the water ran all in under them. They still got wet even though they were inside of the tent, and they were able to finally just leave the tent and run to a barn that was nearby, and they spent the night in the barn is where they spent the night. Usually a tent is not as good of a shelter as what we would call our houses today. But the tabernacle was a little bit different. In those days, that was basically what the children of Israel had, was tents. They were sojourners. They were people that were traveling from one place to another. Now, when I say traveling, they had been freed from Egypt, as we were taught in Sunday school this morning, and they were on their way to a promised land. Now, Brother Stewart got into the different plagues this morning and talking about how that the plagues themselves and the purpose for them. A lot of people wonder why the children of Israel had to go the long way around. Well, I'm going to give you my opinion on this. A lot of people may disagree with this. The long way around was is they first had to go to where God was going to meet with them. They had to basically see a little bit more works of God so that they could really follow the Lord. The idea was, is God was proving them, making sure that they were going to serve the Lord. That was the initial purpose in them taking the long way around. They went off out of the way down to Horeb, where they got the commandments of God and got the instructions for the tabernacle and got everything and got it all put together there at the base of Mount Horeb. And then they were able to travel north and then east to what would be the promised land. And when they got there, then they started falling away again. They basically got to a place where that they, Lord, we can't do this. How many of us are guilty of when the Lord gives us something to do, we are at a place, Lord, I can't do that. We can do all things through Christ Jesus if we'll just make one step. That's the start of it. Now, this is not getting down to my message, but they said, let's go over, let's examine it, let's just try to see what's there. And 10 of the spies that went over there to look at it came back and said, Lord, no, we can't go in there. There's giants there. It is truly a blessed place, but no, we can't overcome those cities, and we can't do anything to get there. Two of the spies said, by the Lord's help, we can do this. This caused the anger of God, and that caused the children of Israel to wander 40 years in the wilderness. They were not allowed to go into the promised land. You might say, well, just why didn't they just turn around and go on their own? They did try that, and God stopped them by the enemies that were in the land, and they ended up turning around, following God, following Moses, and just wandering in the wilderness. They were sojourners in a tabernacle or a tent, and they were to follow God. In our reading lesson, he talks about the tabernacle of the congregation, the tent of the congregation. Many times people today look at church buildings and they will tell you, that's a church. I beg to differ with you here today at Murfreesboro. If you have in your mind that this is this building is the church, it's only a building. It's a tent. It's a temporary thing. You, the people of this church that have joined into this body here at Murfreesboro, you are the church itself. A body of baptized believers that have joined together in the faith of this church to believe and practice what God has instructed us to do. This was a forerunner here as far as the tabernacle was. It was a place where the people could go and meet the Lord. If they had something they wanted to talk to God about, they needed to go to the tabernacle. They needed to go there and seek God's presence. Most of the time, when people are talking about the Jewish belief as far as the temple and the tabernacle as it was, they only want to talk about the sacrifices that the people made. And they did make many sacrifices, and they had many things that they were to follow by God's rule. But if they wanted to know the Lord, if they wanted to talk to the Lord, the best place for them to go was to the tabernacle of the congregation, as it was said. There were some reasons for that, why that we go to the tabernacle, our church house, today. If you'll notice, it was the place where that they were to go and meet with the Lord. Now, notice it said that it was outside the camp. It was not in the middle of the camp. Later on, That was the instructions of God, that they would put it in the middle of the camp and that they would set up around it, and all the tribes of Israel were set up around the tabernacle itself. That, but here at this time, it was important for them to make an effort to go to where God is. It's important for God's people, God's saved individuals, to make an effort to go and meet with the Lord. The Lord is always at hand according to the scriptures. But it is important for saved individuals to make an effort to go where God is. I talked a little bit earlier about the singing and listening to gospel songs and Christian music, if you want to call it that. I talked about that earlier. All of those things draw you closer to the Lord. Well, you said the Lord was close by. Yes, He is. But if you want to talk to a friend, do you not have to make an effort? The Lord is a friend that sticketh closer than the brother, is what the Bible tells us. But the fact of the matter is, if I want to talk to one of my friends, I've got to make an effort to go and talk to them. I have a good friend, Michael. We've been friends most all of our lives, and he still calls me from time to time. Usually about once every couple of weeks, he'll call me just to check in on me. He'll call to make sure that I'm okay. Sometimes we'll talk a little bit about old times, but mostly it's a quick conversation. How many of you have a quick conversation with God? Now, if you'll notice, when Moses went to the tabernacle itself, what it said there in that reading lesson, that he went into the tabernacle and there he talked with God. One of the most important things for you as children of God today to do is to talk with God. Have a conversation with Him. Cohen's not here. My grandson's not here today. But we asked him to pray. Now, he's little. He hasn't been saved yet. He doesn't understand the necessity of prayer. Most of the time, it's blessing time. And it's got word that he's ready to eat. And it is a fast prayer. God is great. Thank you for this food. Amen. He leaves out the rest of the prayer. But the point is today, do we leave out the conversation with God? Do we leave out the talking with the Lord about the things? I appreciated Brother Chad's prayer earlier. I did not hear all of the prayer, but I could tell he was talking to the Lord. It's important for us to talk to our friends. If we don't talk to our friend, he will not be a friend very long. He'll find somebody else to talk to. In couples, that should be the very best friend that you have, your spouse. But my friends, we understand today there's a lot of couples that hardly ever talk to their spouse. Husband to their wife and wives to their husbands. And what we learn and see out of that, they end up having problems because they haven't communicated. So what about communicating with God? It's important for us to go into the house of God, into the tabernacle of the congregation, if you would, to pray in there. You might say, well, wait a minute, preacher. You don't have to be in the church house to pray. I agree wholeheartedly. I do not have to be in the church house to pray. But it is a place where that I can join together with my brothers and sisters, that we can pray together. And what is the old saying? There's strength in numbers. Oh, yes, there is. When I hear people praying to God or talking to God, it strengthens me. It causes me to want to talk to the Lord more myself. I want to be closer to Him like them, like they were. Years ago, I had a friend, good close friend, and that we were together a lot. And I'd get to listening to him to pray at the end. I always tried to make sure I'd done my own talking first. But I'd listen to him pray, and boy, he could get in touch with the Lord. And when I say get in touch with it, just like he had a hold of the Lord's hands, and he was just talking with him. Y'all had that experience, haven't you? When that you pray or you're talking to a friend, maybe you're holding their hand, maybe you're patting them on the hand in times of sickness, maybe there's something, but you really got an intimate feeling of talking with them in that way. And as you do those things, you are talking with them and becoming a close friend with that individual. The idea is when we're talking to God in this same manner, we are to look at Him. We are to look for Him. We are to speak to Him. Not just saying words out loud that somebody else has said. How many times do you see it on television where people have a ritual type prayer? They'll say, well, I'm supposed to say this particular prayer at this particular time and this one at another time, and then I'll say it then, and then I'll go through that one and then that one and then that one for those situations. But what does God want you to talk to Him about? Your feelings, your desires, your wants. But, preacher, I can do that in my house. Yeah, you can. I want you to notice something about this reading lesson. And it says, and it came to pass when Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. You see, people are watching. Was Moses doing this as a show? No. He was not doing it as a show. He was not doing it just to try to lift up himself, but he was going there for a purpose. It's important when we come into the house of God for us to go for a purpose. It's important for us to have the Lord on our hearts and on our minds. And one of the main reasons that I want to bring out here with this is the people saw what Moses was doing. They saw what he was doing. He was going to the tabernacle of the congregation to talk with God, to be able to be with God in that place. They knew that he was going there for that purpose, and they had a longing. You ever get a longing just to meet with the Lord? Oh, there's times I get cold. Oh, Lord, where are you at? Make that statement. Oh, I've been there. The thing about it is, it's not where's the Lord at, it's where we're at. You see, they stood back in their tents and watched. See, you're watching me today, right? Well, maybe somebody's asleep, close your eyes or something, I don't know. But the idea is, you're watching me. You're looking at me. You're seeing me today. And you're seeing something that you think, well, this is normal that a man is up there preaching the Word of God. Yes, it should be normal that we go to hear the Word of God and to hear about the blessings that God gives us. It is important for us to do those things. But the fact of the matter is, it really gets down to a place where the example is being made by Moses that he went to talk to God. What did they see? Now, everybody might not know what this is significant of. In that ninth verse, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, a cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. Now, you'll find in the book of Exodus different places where the children of Israel were led by a pillar of a cloud in the daytime. At night, they had a pillar of fire that led them. So this was daytime, and this pillar of cloud came down in his presence. You see, this pillar was a thing showing the Spirit of God. That was what it was symbolizing. It symbolized the Spirit of God coming down to meet with Moses and to be in that place. You see, when the Spirit of God meets with you in your tabernacle, it's good to be in the house of God. It's good to be in your house praying. You can do it at your kitchen table, your bedroom on your bed, beside your bed. The idea is especially that you go to a place and meet with God. But it is even more precious when you do it in the house of the in the tabernacle of the congregation, the house of God. It's more precious. You remember I was talking about that friend that looked like he could just have a hold of God's hand and he was talking to the Lord and it just basically it run all over me. And it not only run all over me, it ran all over other people that were there. You see what happened in that day. Part of this was out of fear that they did some of this. But they also reverence God. In that last verse, it said that they rose up and worshiped. Did you get this? Worship every man in his tent. No. They weren't ready to go out and really meet the Lord. But they were willing to worship. You see, when we are in the house of God and we go and meet with the Lord, when we start talking with God, when God starts blessing, and they start to see that Spirit of God moving into a place in the midst of it, it causes those people that are back in the camp, we'll say, back in their own places, sitting there watching and looking, maybe even standing up and looking. And as they are standing up and looking at it, what are they doing? They're taking notice of it. Not only taking notice of it, but they are starting to get an understanding of what the Spirit of God can do. I heard a man on the radio say earlier, for the first time he went into one of our churches, the Spirit of God got to moving in that church house, and he had never saw anything like that before. And at first he thought it was crazy. He thought the people was out of their minds, basically. But what it really came down to was he saw the Spirit of God moving, and it caused a desire in him. That's saved and sinner alike. How many saved people have really not met with the Lord? And I mean, just really, yeah, they prayed that one time and they got saved and they knew they got saved. But after that, well, what do I do next? Not ask a show of hands, but how many of you, as soon as you got saved, you knew how to live perfect? How many of you knew how to be spiritual? You had to learn it, didn't you? I remember the very first time that the pastor called on me to pray. I went, oh no. Oh no, me? Thankfully, he called on another one too. And I think he was kind of like, oh no, too. But then they said, let's go down to the altar and let's pray together. And we two started the prayer, but everybody else joined in and prayed together. And I went, didn't know what to do, Lord. I took care of him, is what he said. You see, when we go into the house of God, it's important for us to set the example like Moses did. To enter into the house of God and to meet with God. Brother Stewart says it a lot of times in our Sunday school classes. People come to church a lot of times and they have in mind, Lord, what are you going to do for me today? I like John F. Kennedy's phrase as far as the people, for the people of the United States. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Ask not what God can do for you, ask what you can do for your God. Oh yeah, he's your God. He deserves our worship. He deserves our prayers, our ways of talking with him. He desires to have fellowship with you. That's a word I haven't used in this message yet. That was, you want me to prove that one? What did God do when he made Adam and Eve? He would go down in the cool of the day and would walk with them. You know what they did? They talked. He still wants to do that today. But he expects you to make an effort to go to the tabernacle of the congregation. To be a part of that service, to be a part of the ones that are serving him and that are doing the example to them that are young. We've got members here, got young people here that basically only been saved a year or so, maybe a few years, and they're looking to you to teach them. Oh, no, preacher, that's your job. I agree, it's my job. But they learn by example. They learn by the example, not just of the pastor, but of the congregation. If the Spirit moves in the congregation, you know what it'll do? It'll get into the younger ones too. Because they'll see that spirit, that cloudy pillar come down. And they'll start to worship also. Brother Sam, that's our message today. Thankful to have everyone with us today. We appreciate your coming to our service today. Glad to have our visitors with us. Been blessed to be in our service today. Our crowd's about a third of what it used, well, a little better than half of what it usually is. we just pray that everybody will be safe, that everybody will take care. But while we sing this song, let's all rise. Let us worship the Lord during this song. Look for the Spirit to come down in this service, that it'll bless all of us today. While we stand and sing.
211. 211.